The following program contains graphic material, including offensive language. Viewer discretion is advised.
Without freedom of the press, no democratic form of government could exist.
We switch you now to London.
I'm standing on a rooftop, looking out over London.
Good night, and good luck.
Good evening from our CBS newsroom in New York.
NBC presents Chet Huntley and David Brinkley.
From ABC, this is World News Tonight. With Peter Jennings in London, Max Robinson in Chicago, and from our desk in Washington, Frank Reynolds.
Good evening.
This historic legislation, the telecommunications law, will create many, many high wage jobs, will create opportunity and better lives for all Americans.
When the press is free, the people of a country are free. When the press is not free, the people of a country are in danger of slavery.
Keeping you informed with information, news, and the views of people making the news. It's the Nicole Sandler Show on NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
All right, we'll start things off today by lowering our blood pressure a little bit. How do we do that?
I tried to negotiate less gray hair. And Kahane's artistic integrity would not allow him to do what I asked. I tried to negotiate smaller ears. Struck out on that as well. Maybe the one area where there were some concessions was, as I said before, Kahane's art often takes ordinary people and elevates them, lifts them up, and puts them in these fairly elaborate settings. And so his initial impulse maybe in the work was to also elevate me and put me in these settings with, you know, partridges and scepters and thrones and...
Oh, for the good old days.
Robes and... mounting me on horses. And I had to explain that I've got enough political problems without you making me look like Napoleon. We've got to bring it down just a touch.
Just a touch. Just bring our collective blood pressure down just a touch by listening to a few words from Barack Obama, who by far was not our best president ever. But my goodness, compared to what we have now, isn't that a calming, calming voice to hear to start things off? Of course, that was from yesterday when they unveiled the president and former president and former first lady's official portraits for the Smithsonian Portrait Gallery. Those are not the official portraits for the White House. Those are the other official portraits. And apparently, it was an event that made Donald Trump's head explode. He was so upset by the attention that the former president and former first lady got that he started talking about, you know, sculptures of himself. The man is so demented. It's more sad than funny at this point. You know, I've been thinking about that. That new cartoon president show. There's like the other president show that's on Comedy Central, which I have not brought myself to watch because I don't find the humor in the man. I get riled up. I get surus. I get upset by it. And so there's this new, someone will have to email me or tweet to me at Nicole Sandler and let me know if that show on Showtime is worth seeking out. Again, I think it normalizes him to make fun of him in that respect, to be able to laugh so easily at the insanity that goes on. You know, then, somebody tell me if you can even watch that show. So the paintings, I wasn't overly impressed with either one of them. The ones for the Smithsonian are supposed to be more stylized, more, JFK's was an abstract. I mean, but the funniest part of all, let me see if I can pull this up, was Sean Hannity's reaction, who tweeted something, said the widening scandal surrounding former President Barack Obama's official portrait continued to swirl on Tuesday with shocking allegations. The artist included secret sperm cells within the painting And the artist once joked about killing Whitey during an interview, neither of which are true. Well, who knows? Maybe there are secret sperm cells. Who knows? And who cares? Sean Hannity just has to make anything, you know, about Obama into a scandal. Anyway, I know that there's so much other stuff worth talking about, but I'd honestly rather talk about Obama than Trump. Oh, my goodness. So this morning there was riveting television. Yeah, the tube was riveting. It was the Senate Intelligence Committee with hearings on the most pressing international threats to America. And, you know, they danced around the biggest threat to America is the one that sits in the Oval Office. I honestly think Donald Trump and his administration are the biggest threats. The way they're handling this whole Rob Porter thing, the staff secretary who could not get security clearance because he's a wife beater, and now we learn that the as if they don't always lie. This is, you know, that's all we get from this administration are lies about everything. And John Kelly, who was supposed to be the adult in the room, was lying about the timeline of this Porter investigation. Here's this is just from about an hour ago. I was watching MSNBC when Katie Tour came on, and this is her report. It starts with Raj Shah, who is the deputy press secretary, speaking, I think, on Friday, and then it goes to Sarah Sanders yesterday, lying about the timeline about when they knew everything they know about Rob Porter.
His background investigation was ongoing. He was operating on an interim security clearance. His clearance was never denied, and he resigned.
I can't get into the specifics. I can tell you that the process for the background was ongoing, and the White House had not received any specific papers regarding the completion of that background check.
It's a lie.
Both Sarah Huckabee Sanders and Raj Shah said Porter's FBI background investigation was ongoing. Sanders says specifically that the White House didn't receive any, quote, specific papers. Ray just testified in front of Congress that the FBI passed along information multiple times, completed the background check in late July, and then responded to the White House's subsequent questions on Porter last November. Then, when the FBI received new information earlier this month, they passed on that as well. So let's ask the big question one more time.
Okay.
Who is lying? Is it Donald Trump's FBI director, or is it the White House, which has changed its Porter story nearly every day? Uh-huh. Folks, credibility counts, and in the past year, this White House has proven not to have much of it.
You think? Just for the record, here's the FBI director, Christopher Wray, on the timeline of the Porter investigation. This is the FBI background check into Rob Porter, who was the guy who was serving as White House staff secretary.
Was the White House informed that this could affect his security clearance? That's a yes or no.
I can't get into the content of what was briefed.
But what were they informed?
What I can tell you is that the FBI submitted a partial report on the investigation in question in March, and then a completed background investigation in late July. That is, soon thereafter, we received requests for follow-up inquiry, and we did the follow-up and provided that information in November, and then we administratively closed the file in January. And then earlier this month, we received some additional information, and we passed that on as well.
Okay.
January. It was closed out in January. They knew in July. The investigation was closed in July. It was finished in July. It was officially closed in November.
Lies, lies, that's all I ever get from you.
This is the most, and I understand most press secretaries lie. But this is the most lyingest administration, I believe, in recent, I mean, at least in my lifetime, at least since I've been paying attention, if not forever. All right, I've got to get the blood pressure down again. So I'll tell you what, we'll take a time out for What's News, come back on the other side with Gotta Laugh, because you got to laugh. or else you cry.
I read the news today, oh boy.
It's time for Nicole Sandler's What's News from NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
The U.S. Senate on Monday began an open-ended debate on immigration, beginning the process of building a bill from scratch on the Senate floor. It started with a procedural vote on an unrelated House pass measure that will serve as a shell for building an immigration bill, passing 97-1, with only Ted Cruz voting no. The debate, expected to go on all week, will include votes on a series of measures, with Mitch McConnell telling reporters, quote, whoever gets to 60 wins. It's infrastructure week again. The White House rolled out its $1.5 trillion infrastructure plan on Monday, with the president speaking a bunch of gobbledygook.
We're here today to discuss the critical need to rebuild America's crumbling infrastructure. This morning, I submitted legislative principles to Congress that will spur the biggest and boldest infrastructure investment in American history. The framework will generate an unprecedented $1.5 to $1.7 trillion investment in American infrastructure. We're going to have a lot of public-private, and that way it gets done on time, on budget. It will speed the permit approval process from 10 years to 2 years and maybe even to 1 year. Because when we give you as governors and mayors and people representing your great states, so we give you money and you can't get your approvals, I guess we're going to have to take that money back or you're not going to build. And some of you are sitting around the table that I know, some of the governors, you're going to get those permits, I have no doubt. Others, I see a couple sitting around the table, I don't think they're going to get their permits so fast. It provides $50 billion for rural infrastructure who have really been left out. The rural folks have been left out, including broadband internet access, which they don't have, and they want it, and the farmers want it. It will create thousands and thousands of jobs and increase training for our great American workers. And it returns power to the state and local governments who know best what their people need. Washington will no longer be a roadblock to progress. Washington will now be your partner. We'll be your partner. A lot of money, up to $1.7 trillion. That's bigger than people thought.
Actually, only $200 billion would come from the federal government, while state and local government and private investors will be on the hook for the rest. Typically, these types of deals are 80% federal and 20% state and local, not the other way around. The Rob Porter story isn't going away, as Monday's White House press briefing was filled with questions about what the administration knew and when.
Rob Porter's first wife, Colby Holderness, spoke with the FBI as part of his clearance process on January 25th, 2017, during which she says that she laid out all of the allegations that have since been aired against Rob Porter and provided the FBI with the photographs that were the turning point in his termination last week. At any time between January 25th of last year and last Wednesday, did the FBI make anyone here at the White House, whether it was in the counsel's office, the chief of staff's office, or anyone else, did the FBI make anybody here aware of the allegations that had been raised against Porter by Colby Holderness and his second wife, Jenny Willard?
We learned of the extent of the situation involving Rob Porter last Tuesday evening, and within 24 hours his resignation had been accepted and announced. We announced a transition was going to happen, and within hours it did. The president and the entire administration take domestic violence very seriously and believe all allegations need to be investigated thoroughly. Above all, the president supports victims of domestic violence and believes everyone should be treated fairly and with due process. We've addressed this situation extensively, and we have nothing more to add at this time on that topic.
Sarah Sanders was grilled over the president's not saying anything about the victims of domestic violence at the hands of his former staff secretary.
Why haven't we heard the president say exactly what you just said right there, that he takes domestic violence very seriously?
I spoke with the president. Those are actually directly his words that he gave me.
Sure they were.
Why hasn't he said that? He had the opportunity.
It's my job to speak on behalf of the president. I spoke to him, and he relayed that message directly to me, and I'm relaying it directly to you.
When asked about the problems inherent with top-level staffers not being able to get security clearance, Sanders accused the press of being the ones playing fast and loose with classified information.
Why are high-level aides allowed to work with classified information without permanent security clearance?
Once again, that's a question that the FBI and other intelligence communities, they make that determination. That's not something that's decided by the White House. It's the same way that it has been.
Can you guarantee that you are protecting classified information, given that you have someone like Rob Porter who didn't have a permanent security clearance?
I think we're doing and taking every step we can to protect classified information. I mean, frankly, if you guys have such concern with classified information, there's plenty of it that's leaked out of the Hill, that's leaked out of other communities well beyond the White House walls. If you guys have real concerns about leaking out classified information, look around this room. You guys are the ones that publish classified information and put national security at risk. That doesn't come from this White House. And I think if anyone is publishing or putting out publicly classified information, it's members of the press, not the White House.
And that's a bit of What's News for Now. I'm Nicole Sandler. If you appreciate these reports and the Nicole Sandler Show, I hope you'll consider a contribution. My work is 100% listener-funded, and I can't do it without your help. Find out more at NicoleSandler.com/donate.
You're listening to the Nicole Sandler Show on Progressive Voices and NicoleSandler.com.
And now, it's time for the Nicole Sandler Show segment, Shooting the Shit with Laffy.
Oh, it is Tuesday, and we start off our week here at the Nicole Sandler Show with our pal Gotta Laugh, to, you know, mining her Twitter feed for the latest news and what's happening. Hello?
Yes, you reached the all the best people hotline.
I had a feeling there was an office somewhere.
Oh, yeah, indeed. Press one if you think Trump cares as much about mishandling classified information as he does about mishandling women.
About the same, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Press two if you think Trump has gone from locker room talk to clocker room talk.
Ooh.
Press three if you think the new White House slogan should be, "The hits just keep on coming."
Oh, yeah.
Have a nice day.
Yeah.
I was literally collecting tweets during the entire What's New segment
really?
To try to catch us up. Yeah.
Oh, boy. Oh,
yeah, because Huckabee S was up there lying, and I couldn't quite follow everything because I was doing it strictly on tweets. I had the sound down, but I do have some to share. So
okay.
We should get right into tweets.
Then,
I've got tons.
Let's do it.
Welcome to my tweet.
All right. Yes, she started a little later than usual today, so I didn't see any of it. Although I saw all of yesterday's, which was more than enough to get me through for a while. Oh
yeah,
my
yeah.
goodness!
Well, they started like 2 hours late yesterday because you know they had to collect their lies and put them out there, so
I suppose.
They had to perfect them all. So I'm trying to see. I think this is the order. I was. You should see my tabs up there. There's so many I couldn't keep track. But Daniel Dale of the Toronto Star said, Sanders says she who said the FBI's Porter check was still ongoing, mm-hmm. and Director Ray, who said they completed the check in July and closed the file in January, mm-hmm. are, quote, both telling the truth, since the White House Personnel Security Office thought more info was still needed. And I want to pick up on that with the next one. Chris Geidner, who is with BuzzFeed, said, quote, "We explained the process extensively last week," press secretary says, quote, "The process was still ongoing when Rob Porter resigned," unquote. Specifically, the, quote, "White House Personnel Security Office has not finished its process," she said. Picking up on that, translation from Jamie O'Grady, who's a reluctant lawyer, he says. Translation, the White House didn't make the White House aware of Porter's alleged spousal abuse. Jordan Fabian, he was commenting on the Hill correspondent saying, press secretary says she is not aware of any communication between the White House Personnel Security Office and the West Wing about Porter background investigation. So basically, okay, so then Lawrence O'Donnell says, Sarah Sanders lie. We are following a process used by previous administration. So what she did was, oh, here's one more, Monica Alba. NBC. Just now, as Sarah Sanders was briefing and explaining that Trump is speaking through her on the issue of domestic violence, the president himself ignored a shouted question from the pool about his message to domestic violence victims.
Oh, my.
So that's kind of a quick recap of what just happened. She's basically saying, well, see, there's this whole other office, and we were dealing with them, but I guess she doesn't speak for them. She only speaks for the White House, so she can't deal with what they were doing. I didn't quite get any of it.
Unbelievable. This whole thing is just stunning. And if they're using a prior protocol, I don't think this has ever happened before, where you have key people in an administration who can't get their security clearance.
No, this is, as Lawrence said, it's a lie. This is nothing like anybody else has ever done. And what they're doing today is an extension of what they've been doing all week, which is this weird carousel of lies that are like colliding with each other. That, as you pointed out, I think you did in What's News, because I could barely listen because I was doing my thing there. But the hearing just blew a hole through all of it.
Yes,
which I'll read you now. And it's probably, I hope it's not a rehash of what you said. I'm sorry
it's
if
okay.
I'm repeating. So Ned Price, who was a special assistant to Obama. And he's a CIA spokesperson, was a CIA spokesperson. He said, so when press secretary said the White House hadn't received Porter clearance paperwork from the FBI, what she meant was that she herself hadn't received that paperwork from the FBI. And by the way, this entire new line of defense is premised on the idea that White House security officials are better positioned than the FBI, our premier investigative agency, to evaluate an individual's fitness for a security clearance.
I'm so confused.
I know. Well, I think that's their whole point.
Of course it is. It's always their whole point.
Yeah.
And again, and the sky is green.
Right. But they're all just like pointing fingers at, no, they did it and we didn't know. And no, they said something else and we hadn't looked at it. Or, well, no, we did look at it, but it was 40 minutes later, but it was really a week later, but it was really an hour later, but it was really 3 months later. It's just a bunch of juggling.
Right.
And Ned Price was pointing out some of it.
Here's this from Jim Acosta. He just tweeted a few minutes ago. White House offering up a new explanation for the Porter timeline in his background check, agreeing FBI had completed its investigation, but adding the White House Personnel Security Office had not completed their process.
Right. That's the other two tweets. Yeah,
right.
Exactly.
Unreal.
What was happening is that the White House wasn't getting the answers they wanted, so they just ignored all the evidence. And then Ray today decided to go on the record with his timeline and totally rebut Trump's timeline. And so here's more from that. Manu Raju was saying Ray suggests White House was well aware of the Porter allegations. Did I just read this? No. After FBI background investigation, Ray said that there was a partial report in March, completed background check in July, did follow up in November, closed the file in January, mm-hmm. and passed along additional info this month. White House spokes last week, Porter background investigation was ongoing. Ray today in Hill testimony, background check done in July, which I think you did talk about.
Yes. Yeah, that they said it was done in July, and it was like closed out in November. July the investigation was done. They closed the file in November and then completely closed it in January, which to me says they were told that this guy needs to go because he does not have clearance for the job he's in.
Right. And Aaron Blake from the Washington Post said, so per Ray, Christopher Wray, FBI background probe into Rob Porter effectively ended three separate times with no apparent action from the White House. That's basically it in a nutshell. Let's see. To paraphrase, this is from Ned Price again. To paraphrase the FBI director, everything the White House said publicly was a complete lie. I mean, that's basically it. They're contradicting. Oh, here. Walter Schaub, who was the former director of Office of Government Ethics, said, that sure is a long 40 minutes.
Yeah, really long 40 minutes. 40 minutes, 24 hours. I mean, I was watching, I don't know, one of the shows yesterday. It may have even been Chuck Toad.
You didn't watch that?
I watch, Katie Tour does it on Mondays.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, watch her.
But somebody was saying that, it's actually a good, it's 5 o'clock out here and it's a good roundup of the day's news, but I watch it on a delay so I can fast forward when it gets insufferable. you know, got to do it that way. Can't watch in real time. But about the whole gaslighting thing, one of them was talking about gaslighting yesterday and how up is down and in is out. And it's like, this is what we've been talking about forever here. Only it's so much worse than ever before. We have entered, pardon me for a moment here, but opposite world.
Everything you thought you knew, you never knew it all. Sideways is straight ahead. Facts no longer matter. Reality is now fiction. There's a signpost up ahead. Your next stop, opposite world.
You know, Boca Brittany made that for me back when, you know, long before Trump was, before anyone ever thought he would ever be president, just right. Dealing with how Republicans deal with things. They tell you the sky is green, but right. He does it with such ease, and he's got you know, the Republicans in Congress backing him up, and this White House, a whole organization just lying and everybody contradicting each other and them all saying we didn't contradict each other. What are you talking about?
Exactly. I made a little opposite world picture with upside down, so it looked opposite, like a picture of something, and then it reflects itself.
Uh-huh.
And that was back in the Bush years. I mean, you right. know, we thought it was bad then, but like you're saying, it's insane now. It's insane. I mean, think about all the quote good people that they have been saying are good people: Corey Lewandowski, Roy Moore, Rob Porter, Sorensen, Bill O'Reilly, who are all innocent, right? They're all
yep.
innocent. They're
yep.
they're mere allegations. They mean nothing.
Esquire put together like a supercut reel of Trump defending all of these people as really good people. I have it somewhere, not at my fingertips, but
yeah.
Really, I mean, this is what he does. He's a good person. He, you know, I hope he goes on to, you know, great things, and he
right.
said
you
it
just,
about all of them.
Exactly. Just say the exact opposite of what they are, and his people will believe him. He's still got a 35% to 40% positive rating from his group, his minions, you know, who follow every word he said. So Ken Delanian of NBC said, this is per the hearings today, Senator Jack Reed just got FBI Director Wray and other intel chiefs to admit that the president has never asked them to focus on or disrupt Russian election meddling. Did you cover that?
No, I haven't gotten to that yet, but he did. It's unbelievable.
I was waiting for them to stammer, you know, the people mm-hmm. he was asking at the hearing and in their little row of stammer. And they all kind of looked at each other, you know. We've been giving him reports. Well, no, I'm not asking you if you were giving him reports. I'm asking you, did the president himself ask you to focus on this? Well, but we've been telling him stuff. No, I'm not asking you if you've been telling him stuff. We assume you have.
Right.
That's your
Has
job.
He asked you about it?
Exactly.
And
they finally said, well, not really. I mean, we're not, you know, but they were, it's so funny that they were well, not funny, but you know, it was so embarrassing that they just wouldn't answer directly on that one. They could have just said, no, he didn't. And let it fall that way.
Right.
But they were all trying to sort of squeak by with sort of protecting him, which
yes.
made me very upset.
Yes. Cause that's what he demands of them.
Yes. Okay, so switching topics on my tweets for right now.
Okay.
Digby.
Yes, our pal Digby.
Who we love. Trump says DACA recipients' last chance is March 5th, and they will never have another chance. All he has to do is extend the deadline or issue another executive order. And then she continued, he's prepared to break every conflict of interest norm and issue security clearances to wife beaters, but on this, he's a stickler.
Right. You know, and it's not only that. Actually, a court stepped in, so that March 5th date is moot at the moment. So he doesn't even understand that. He just has no basic understanding of any of the things he's supposed to be legislating over. You know, he's supposed to be shepherding in. He just is clueless about everything.
Well, he knows nothing about, like you said, the legislation he's trying to usher in, and he also refuses to read any briefings. He has people pick out what they think he'll like and read to him or tell him the bullet points of his daily briefings, which means he's missing a whole lot of information that's vital to our security.
But Jared Kushner, who lacks a security clearance, reads it.
Yes, yes, yes. And so did Porter.
And so did Porter, who lacked security clearance.
Well, at least he got wind of it and passed stuff across his desk.
He's the one who handled it every day. He's the one who, would have put it in front of Trump if Trump were to read it.
Okay, so speaking of Porter, ABC News reports that Rob Porter told White House senior staff ex-wife's black eye was accidental. And here's the couple of quotes that I just absolutely have to read you.
Okay.
You're not going to believe this. Where's the beginning? He said, the reason she got a black eye, is that he was ready to throw glass on the floor to smash, and they both lunged for the glass.
Oh.
And there was a struggle. And then he went on to say that she bruised her eye when she fell during their struggle and denied punching her. He also said that it was the first time they had a physical altercation.
Mm-hmm.
Then here's another one. I want to hear your reaction, because you're going to be perfect. Porter said that he and Willoughby were separated at the time. He returned to the house to collect his clothes, and while tapping the glass door pane with his index finger, his knuckle went through the glass. Porter said he went into the house to wrap up the wound, but Willoughby told him to leave, and then she called the police.
Oh, my God. We have sliding glass doors. I live in Florida. There's sliding glass doors throughout the house.
Yeah.
You can't break one of those by tapping a finger. It doesn't work that way.
You could actually, like, I have fallen against the door. I have accidentally hit the door
walked into the door because,
I've
one of those
off
moments when it's actually clean, and you don't realize the door is closed.
the few times we've actually used our Windex, right?
Yes, right.
Or we've actually had birds get in the house and fly into our doors that have window panes.
Uh-huh.
Nothing happens. The bird hurts, but nothing happens to the door.
Right.
When you have a bird flying full on into a glass, it's a little harder than tapping on with your index finger.
You think?
Tap.
Right.
Tap. Oh my God, my whole fist went through that. How did that happen? Oh my God, look, my finger tapped right through the glass. No.
You know, they don't even have to be good liars, because they're being covered for with their really bad lies.
Right. I mean, but that's just lame. Everything he said was so typically abuser,
I don't have time to read it today, but I have in the Washington Post, in today's Washington Post, Porter's first ex-wife, Colby Holderness, wrote an op-ed. Maybe we'll get to this tomorrow. We'll see. I've got it here, but it's definitely worth reading.
And the Willoughby one was great, too, for in Time.
Right.
Really well done. Rick Wilson says about the Intel hearing. This Intel hearing is going to rev Donnie into the stratosphere. He's going to be listening to all these things, the lie busters. It's going to drive him nuts. You know that he's going to go into a tweet storm tomorrow.
Well, what else is new? The thing that I keep coming back to is the descriptor of what this hearing was. The hearings were on the most pressing international threats to America. And it's the orange thing, the orange baboon that sits in the Oval Office for a few hours a day anyway.
If he's there, or maybe he falls asleep while he's eating his hamburgers, but
during executive time. Yeah.
Yes. During executive time. Here's something. Omarosa said this.
Yes.
Now, of course, I give her no credibility. This has nothing to do with her credibility. Preface this with saying that after I read this to you, people were tweeting me, sort of implying that I was giving her credibility about something. It has nothing to do with her credibility, what she said. Here's what she said. She said, "You would be begging for days of Trump back if Pence became president. He's extreme. I'm Christian. I love Jesus. But he thinks Jesus tells him to say things. And I'm like, Jesus didn't say that. Scary." All right. you don't need to think she's credible.
No.
To agree with her point.
Right. And to agree that Mike Pence is frightening. Mike Pence is frightening.
Yes.
I wish I had it. I saw, I think it was a tweet or someone's comment somewhere that, it's one thing for you to talk to Jesus. It's when you think Jesus talks to you
yes.
that you have, that there's a problem.
Somebody sent that to me today. Right. I mean, he thinks Jesus talks to him, and he doesn't think that the Constitution comes first. He thinks God does, and that God's rule is what should, you know, we should all be living by. And the rule of law comes second to that. And she's commenting and saying, you guys, be afraid. This is what you'll get if you if Trump leaves or you somehow impeach him, which doesn't look likely, at least right now. So, you know, I watched Big Brother. I've been watching what she says, and it's
really?
All for show and to sell her books. Yeah. And she's a really creepy person. I mean, she's just vicious, and she's like Trump. She sounds like Trump when he's threatening things. She gets like that. Like, you just wait.
Did you watch the show before she was on? Is that like, you know, I've got my guilty
yeah.
pleasures. I watch
yeah.
Survivor. So you watch Big Brother?
Yeah, Big Brother's the only one we've ever stuck to for some reason. I don't even know why we make fun of it constantly,
uh-huh.
but it's sort of addictive. Like you know,
I watch Survivor. What can I tell you? I
yeah,
watch
I mean,
Survivor.
That's my guilty pleasure. It's
uh-huh.
okay. So this is the first time they've done a celebrity one in the United States.
Now, is there actually any celebrities on there, or are they reality show people?
No, they're celebrities like the star of Hairspray. When it was on Broadway.
Okay.
And, oh my God, I'm so bad with names.
So there's celebrities that we haven't really heard of.
People you'd recognize. You would recognize them and go, oh, I know who that is. You know,
okay.
like there's this one guy that does, when they do the red carpet stuff, he's one of the commentators and you would recognize him. You would know who he is immediately.
Okay.
Without even
if you say
blinking.
So.
Not, oh, no, you would.
Okay.
You would. If you've ever watched a red carpet
I don't watch the red carpet things.
Oh, okay. Well, then maybe you wouldn't. But
yeah.
most people would. And then there was some former like rock people who were in bands, and now they're sort of trying to revive their careers.
Right. Uh-huh.
There is one reality person on, somebody from one of the wives, you know, one of like the Beverly
uh-huh.
Hills Housewives.
Yeah, so like Dancing with the Stars kind of celebrity.
Yes, exactly. Yes. That is exactly the kind that are on. And
right.
then Omarosa. And she's just creepy as hell, I can tell you. I never watched her. I never watched The Apprentice. I've never seen anything but what the clips you see in the news, with,
uh-huh.
you know, that. With her.
She is a scary, frightening woman, just from
yes.
what I've seen of her, yes.
Her delivery is scary. That is exactly the right word to use. It makes me creep.
And you got to
anyway.
Wonder what she was doing in the White House. Now we hear she was fired. John Kelly fired her. This I read today because
yeah,
she was using the car, the Secret Service car service as like her own personal car service or something.
Well, yeah, that's what they say. But isn't it odd that they would bring that out today?
Yes, of course.
Okay, so here's something that I haven't heard anybody else really talk about.
Okay.
Representative Mo Brooks.
Yes, Alabama.
Quote, yeah.
yeah.
He said, let me see if I can get the quote here. Chris Cuomo was interviewing him. And Brooks says, Chris, to me, he's talking about this whole Rob Porter thing. And he says, Chris, to me, this is kind of soap opera news. Soap opera news. So Cuomo says domestic violence is soap opera news. And Brooks says, I haven't looked at the evidence. I haven't talked to a single witness who has personal knowledge. And I really much prefer, if I'm going to be on your show, to talk about public policy matters, you know, like national security, because Porter had it, deficit and debt, immigration, things of that nature. But when you talk, I think they meant you are, when you're talking about personnel matters or what's going on behind closed doors in a marital relationship, that I know nothing about. I'm just not comfortable commenting on that. He had security or semi-security clearance. He was passing on information of high national security. This isn't soap opera stuff.
Right. Top secret information. This was the administration who was bitching about Hillary Clinton allegedly emailing classified information, which I think that I don't think she did, and screaming lock her up, you know, when now they're talking about due process.
Right. And then so Tony D, he's one of the people who I follow and he follows me. He said Mo Brooks endorsed, like you just said, Roy Moore after the allegations of child molestation came out, attacked his accusers and claimed that one victim forged Moore's signature in her yearbook. So he enjoys playing the villain in his real life soap opera.
I guess the whole thing is so distasteful. It's so disturbing. The way they cover up for these people. Yep.
In every nook and cranny of it, it's completely disturbing and corrupt and disgusting. Off topic, Louis Fishman, he is an assistant professor at Brooklyn College. As Netanyahu is about to face an official police recommendation to indict him on corruption, we will hear voices growing stronger of a, quote, civil coup. Amazing how much language from Turkey has been absorbed worldwide anytime legal challenges come to the likes of Netanyahu and Trump.
Hmm. Yeah, and Netanyahu apparently responded. He said nothing will come of this.
Yes, and that is exactly the type of thing we're going to keep hearing and what we hear from Trump.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so on to the ones I sent you. The tweets, yesterday.
Okay.
Rebecca Traister from New York Magazine, she said, people on here asking where Ivanka is, Ray, Trump, Porter, domestic violence. She's nowhere. She's a liar and a sham and always was. And her job was always to enable her dad's white patriarchal power, full stop, the end. The fact that anyone still looks to her for any sign of humanity, compassion, or interest in justice is testament to the danger she poses.
I'll second that.
I'll third it.
Okay.
I'll 12th it. I'll pretend there's 11 other people around. Okay, so Tim Miller, Crooked Media's, quote, token Republican, he used to work for Jeb Bush. He said, what the fuck? News Corps created fake sexual predator accounts on Facebook to try to initiate a federal investigation against it? And then he has an excerpt from the Wired covering story on Facebook. If you'd like to read it, you can go right ahead and read it because it's a big, long paragraph.
If you want, this is kind of stunning, what they wrote. Then this Wired story, which I have not gotten through, I've skimmed it, is disturbing. All this stuff about the social media companies is disturbing. Yes. But this excerpt from Wired says, Zuckerberg had reason to take the meeting especially seriously, according to a former Facebook executive, because he had firsthand knowledge of Murdoch's skill in the dark arts. Back in 2007, Facebook had come under criticism from 49 state attorneys general for failing to protect young Facebook users from sexual predators and inappropriate content. Concerned parents had written to then Connecticut Attorney General Richard Blumenthal, who opened an investigation, and to the New York Times, which published a story. But according to a former Facebook executive in a position to know, the company believed that many of the Facebook accounts and the predatory behavior the letters referenced were fakes, traceable to News Corp lawyers or others working for Murdoch, who owned Facebook's biggest competitor, MySpace. We traced the creation of the Facebook accounts to IP addresses at the Apple store a block away from the MySpace offices in Santa Monica, the executive says. Facebook then traced interactions with those accounts to News Corp lawyers. When it comes to Facebook, Murdoch has been playing every angle he can. This is just dirty, ugly, nasty, ew stuff.
I know. Well said. That's exactly what it is. I couldn't have said that better myself. Okay, then. Barton Gellman, an author, said, White House says it's common for security clearance to take a year. One, it's not.
Mm-hmm.
Unusual even for regular Janes and Joes. Two, it verges on black swan territory for top rankers like Kushner and Porter, who cut the line. Three, may mean never, and bureaucracy doesn't want to say no. So, again, you know, and then Elizabeth de la Vega, a former federal prosecutor who I've gotten to know on the Twitters, she said, yes, Kushner's clearance is in limbo because he made hundreds of false statements about money and foreign contacts. Porter is a proven abuser, yet students seeking DOJ intern jobs are denied clearances if they smoked weed even once 6 years before. White House clearance standards should be far higher.
That's amazing.
Yes, it really is. It's like arrests. Mm-hmm. You know, you throw somebody who's not white in jail for smoking pot, and they get years. And you arrest somebody who is white and rich, and they
get a $50 fine.
Yeah. And then Hunter DK from Daily Coast said, so we're all clear that the reason Kushner et al. Are still on temporary security clearances is because they got rejected for real ones, but the Trump administration has been slow walking those rejections until they work something out, right? I mean, Kushner was in a Trump Tower meeting with Russian government agents to talk about swinging the U.S. election. Of fucking course he's not going to get a security clearance.
No kidding. You know, the thing that goes without saying is Trump himself could never get a security clearance.
Exactly.
Never.
No, he couldn't if he tried.
Never in a million years. And the only reason Jared Kushner is still there is because he's saying he basically made a unilateral decision. He said, it's okay. I waive the security clearance for him. How he can do that, I don't know. But I guess because he's president, the president
he's
has
allowed.
A lot more powers than we knew.
No, that's totally legal. I'm surprised they haven't given Kislyak security clearance.
No kidding.
I mean, all Trump has to do is say, sure, go ahead and give it to him.
Right.
That's
yeah, he's
the way
my
it works.
Buddy.
So Trump tweeted, this will be a big week for infrastructure. How's that going? After so stupidly spending $7 trillion in the Middle East, it is now time to start investing in our country in caps. Digby replied, apparently, you don't realize that the spending in the Middle East was military spending, which you want to raise by trillions. We aren't over there buying rugs and gold jewelry.
I love that line. We
that's
aren't
great.
Over there buying rugs and gold jewelry, which is what he'd be buying gold rugs and jewelry.
And property.
Yeah.
And trying to sell it. And then buying it again.
And then selling it to and then going bankrupt. Loser.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then collecting money from us for some reason.
Right.
So Jesse Ferguson, a former Clinton spokesperson, said Trump's real infrastructure plan, take a bunch of debt, pay it to a company that he profits from. This is sort of like what we were just saying, mm-hmm. to strengthen the roadways in D.C. so we can throw a military parade to honor him. Whee!
You know, go.
The military parade.
Yes.
I don't like the idea of people getting desensitized to seeing Trump's tanks rolling down the street in the United States.
No, me either. And here's the thing. While we're talking about the trillions we need for our infrastructure because our roads are falling apart, he wants to do something to further tear up the roads of Washington, D.C.
Yeah, but then he can say, look, look at all the employed people fixing the roads.
We need them anyway.
I know, but that's what he'd say. That's what he would say. It's like when the stock market fell, like, you know, 1,600 points, but then it went up 600. He'd say, look, the stock market's up 600.
Right. Yeah.
That's what he would do.
Yes.
Okay, so Aaliyah Wong from The Atlantic, she said, overall, Trump administration wants to cut education funding by 5%. Among the line items he wants to eliminate, 21st Century Community Learning Centers, the chief federal funding stream for after-school programs. They currently serve 1.7 million children. And I want to add to that before I read what LOL GOP said. Mm-hmm. I used to run one of those programs. I know what it's like to need money for those programs.
Uh-huh.
I used to have to get grants. I did everything I could to... it was an after school. I had maybe 50 kids involved, which was a huge program for a middle school and for high schools. They usually don't have that many. And it was hell trying to make enough money to get the thing going. So without charging the kids, you know, which we didn't like to do, which mm-hmm. we sometimes do. And anyway, so LOL GOP said, because the real lesson these kids need to learn is they aren't as important as Exxon's $8 billion a year tax cut.
You know, that's what's really getting me right now, because in this new budget that came out, there's billions and billions of dollars of cuts to Medicare and Medicaid. And they did this, they're trying to push this through on the heels of their tax scam plan.
Yes.
That's cutting, billions of dollars for Exxon and other big business while the rest of us get screwed.
Right.
Now,
oh, yeah. I mean, what was he talking about with the budget when I was, oh, no, I wish I had that, darn it. I put out an article by the LA Times about the budget and what, I remember what it was. He's okay, so they did this big tax cut, we're talking about the tax scam.
Mm-hmm.
and the rich people got all their taxes cut and all the other people didn't. And now with his infrastructure thing, it's going to be up to the states to raise taxes order to pay for what he wants them to cover. So
that again, and they're looking to private business too, yes, to, like, you know, to buy the bridges and the roads so they can charge tolls. So not only are your taxes going to be raised for the part that the state has to come up with, but then you'll be charged every time you drive on those roads using tolls to put more money in the pockets of the private corporations that may come in. Yes. This, he's talking about $1.5 to $1.7 trillion for this infrastructure plan. That funny. I think this is your next tweet. Why don't you read it from Judd Legume?
Yes, from Think Progress. Trump's long-awaited infrastructure plan is a fraud. Particularly pernicious is the idea that it's a $1.5 trillion plan. It's a $200 billion plan, offset by $200 billion in cuts elsewhere. It's a $0 infrastructure plan. Oh, and they want to sell private airports. I mean, they want to sell airports.
Right. They want to sell everything. So everything will be privatized. So we'll wind up having to pay double. So the federal government will come up with $200 billion, which they raise by cutting in other places, most notably what they like to call entitlements that
yes,
we call earned benefits. And usually on things like this, it's 80% federal dollars to 20% state. This time it's the other way around. The whole thing is just back ass words and it's fucked up.
It's completely, I mean, there's no way. I mean, California right now has been trying to do things with our water supply because we're in the middle of a new drought. It's starting again because we have had no rain at all this season. And front page news, you know, we're in for another drought, get ready and all that stuff. And we've been trying to fund a high-speed railway forever, which keeps running into more and more problems. We don't have enough money to do, and Brown, our Governor Brown, has been trying to save billions in sort of a rainy day fund. He keeps getting people challenging him on that, which I thought was a pretty good idea, actually. I understand why people were fighting him on it, though, because they want the money for things that we need now. Mm-hmm. But the way it looks like we're going to need a rainy day fund. So the state, I mean, think about a poor state like, what, Mississippi. How are they going to afford things?
Can't even imagine.
Right. Oh, my God. All right, so Chris Hayes said, love the fact that anonymous White House aides have to fan out to tell reporters that secretly, in private, the president actually doesn't like domestic abuse, contrary to the tenor of his public pronouncements.
That is a weird story.
It is.
That they were having people, you know, the usual, I guess, I don't know how they know who the usual sources are, but they had people go to their press contacts and say that Trump has been speaking out against Porter, saying how horrible it is and how disgusting, and that he believes the victims, but he won't come out and say it himself.
Right. He doesn't want to anger his base, which apparently are a bunch of wife beaters.
Yep.
That's all I can figure out. Because why would anybody get mad if he came out and said, you know, that's really... Well, I know why. I know why he's not saying it. It's like an admission of guilt. Because he has so many... shall I say, complaints against him, that if he points the finger and gives those women credibility and points the finger at somebody who's done basically what he's done, then he's admitting guilt tacitly.
Right. Well, listen to this tweet from Peter Alexander at NBC News. He wrote, Trump has 47 million followers and has tweeted 37,000 times. If he wanted to condemn domestic violence post-Porter allegations, seems there would be a simple way to deliver that message without sending Sarah Sanders to do it for him.
Exactly. He doesn't need, you know, her whole thing is, well, he dictated this response that I'm giving you. Well, he could dictate it right into a tweet. So.
Yeah.
He's too much of a coward to do that because he knows people will start saying, oh, so women do have credibility?
Uh-huh.
What about the women who said that you assaulted them?
Right.
That's what it's about. Andrea Mitchell said, press secretary says it is the press that leaks classified information. I think you covered this, not the White House. In answer to why this White House has officials without full FBI clearance handling top security information. In other words, she said, well, you're the ones who leak all the information, so don't point fingers at us. You know, that's such crap.
it was a stunning moment. I have the audio here. It's just 20 seconds. Oh, but when she said this, jaws dropped.
We take every precaution possible to protect classified information and certainly to protect national security. It's the president's number one priority, right, is protecting the citizens of this country. It's why we spend every single day doing everything we can to do that. And I think if anyone is publishing or putting out publicly classified information, it's members of the press, not the White House.
Unbelievable.
Right. And Justin Sink from Bloomberg added, she just accused the press briefing room of putting national security at risk, which is basically just piling on to trying to rip down and destroy a free press by accusing them of a major crime. Of course, it's projecting again, as they're so good at, but it's ripping apart and destroying and tearing down a free press.
Yeah, that's what they do. That's the whole MO.
Because the press is one of our last as reliable as they can be, is one of our last go-tos when it comes to this, between them and the courts. And the courts are being stacked with Trump people.
Yeah, you can say that again. Scary Trump people. Lifetime appointment Trump people.
Yes.
Again, that's why I started with Obama's voice, because even though, again, I criticized him often, it brought the blood pressure down a little bit. Remember all those scandals under Obama?
Yeah, no drama Obama? Yeah, none of them.
Yeah, me neither. The good old days.
I remember thinking that at the time. I mean, it wasn't like it went by us. We actually appreciated it as it was happening, that we didn't have to deal with on top of all the other attacks on him for being black and for, you know, that he was.
There were some
Kenya.
Legitimate, you know, problems that I had with him as president, too. But still, there was none of this stuff. He was a competent enough administrator. Executive, which
right, and he was cautious, which people, I know that was a criticism that he was too cautious, but honestly, comparing the two, you've got somebody in the White House now who is completely reckless, and then you had somebody last time who thought things through too much, maybe, but I think that's a good thing, because he'd be less likely to start a stupid war.
Exactly. Hey, one other thing to note. You know, do you remember Obama would go into the press room and have press conferences every once in a while, especially at the end of the year? And Ben Jacobs tweeted, "Worth noting that Friday will be the 1 year anniversary of Trump's first, last, and only formal White House press conference."
That's right. That's exactly right. Because every time he holds one, which is once, he blows it. He says something that gets it. Like, the time that I'm remembering, and is probably the one that he's referring to, is when he chose, he called on April Ryan and said, you know the people in the Black Caucus. Can you get them to meet with me?
Right. Oh, that wasn't even the worst of it. Not that I remember the specifics, but that was pretty bad.
That was horrible.
Ed Krasenstein, do you know who he is?
I follow him, but I can't figure out who he is.
Like,
who is he?
I don't know. He's got like 700,000 followers, and I can't figure out who he is either.
Well, he's really good at tweeting.
Yes, and he wrote, Donald Trump's nasty budget summarized. Cuts Medicaid by $300 billion. Cuts disability programs by $70-plus billion. Cuts SNAP by $213 billion. Cuts spending to the EPA. Inflates the national debt. Oh, yeah, still no Russian sanctions.
Yeah, that too. And can we also remember to say that the, quote, pro-life party that they like to call themselves is cutting funding for health and poverty and food programs. They're trying to pass off their getting rid of SNAP and providing them with what they call, the
boxes. They want to do it. They're likening them to Blue Apron.
Which is completely, completely fallacious, because Blue Apron is sort of a nice
upscale kind of thing,
full dinner, and they want to give them a box of starch,
right? A box of you know crap from a food pantry, like stuff that's sitting on the shelves to just clean it out,
right?
Rather than let people shop for the things they need for their family.
But again, they're cutting the very basic needs that people need to stay alive, so they are not the pro-life party. And I'm going to make my point again before we go, that Every time somebody says they're pro baby, but they're not pro fetus, but they're not pro baby. They are not pro fetus because if they're cutting funding for those programs, mm-hmm. then they're also destroying the health of not only the fetus but the mother carrying the fetus.
That's true. It is very true. It's a sad world. Again, the hearing today was on the how did I put it at the beginning? The most pressing international threats to America. We have the most pressing threat to America right now sitting in the Oval Office, and we're stuck with him for another 3+ years.
I hope not.
I hope not too.
Yeah.
All right. With that, we're out of time. Gotta Laugh. Find her on the Twitters at Gotta Laugh, 2 T's, 2 F's, and at laughiesplace.com, at NicoleSandler.com. Here every Tuesday where we shoot the shit and play with the Twitter machine. Thank you, yes. Laffy.
Talk to you soon.
Okay, bye.
Bye.
A reminder that I will not be here on Friday. I'm going to be at Florida's Healthcare Summit. It's FloridaHealthcareSummit.org is the website if you want more information on that. But in fact, we'll be speaking with someone from the National Nurses Union about that tomorrow and more. Thanks for listening. We'll see you then.